That's kind of freaky, isn't it? Just imagine if your mirror did that. Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and let Kidmo go. I know we've got kind of a packed room in here. Some of them are saying, no, I want to stay. I want to see the rest. But we're going to go ahead and dismiss Kidmo and their leaders. We're starting a new series today, and we want to talk today about our image, the things that we look at. That was a clip from Snow White and the Huntsman. It's one of our most popular tales that have been around for several decades now, the story of Snow White. And this was just a little bit different adult take on Snow White. And the whole concept, you know, of Queen Ravenna is the idea that she is enamored with her beauty. She wants to know, not only am I beautiful, but am I the most beautiful person in the world? So is there anyone fairer in the kingdom than me? And the mere response, no, it is you. You know, the truth is that we are enamored with our image. We love to take pictures of ourselves. We love the idea of people being able to look at us and think good thoughts. And we will spend hours and thousands of dollars on the ability for our image to match what we want it to be. The truth is, and you know this as well as I do, that image in our culture is huge. And as we look through kind of what's happening around the world, and we look through what's happening in our culture, what's happening in social media, what we also know is that selfies are huge. How many in here have taken a selfie at one point or another? Raise your hand. Okay. So that's you actually bear out statistically about the number of people that take selfies in their life. I've taken selfies. If I happen to get your phone and you scroll over to the photos, you're going to get about 50 or 60 selfies of me on there. It's my gift to you. It's what I like to offer to you to lift your spirits and lift your day, although that's not always the response that I get when I do it. I want to give you a few stats about selfies and how much you and I are enamored with our images. Did you know that over 1 million selfies are taken every single day? Every single day. Now, interestingly enough, it's not enough that we take pictures of ourselves. We want to make sure those pictures are the best they could do. So 13% of all women who take selfies will either edit or retouch them before they post them. Is that not the most vain thing you've ever heard of, guys? The interesting thing is that while 13% of women have, 34% of men. Come on, guys. What? I don't even know how to respond to this. That was a total setup, and you should deserved it, guys. That retouch your, let me just shade my eyes a little bit. Come on, you know, we don't do that. 34% of men will edit or retouch their selfies before they post them. In fact, between 18 and 24-year-olds, 30% of every picture that they will take will be of themselves. How about that? For every three pictures they take, one of them is going to be a selfie. I mean, that's kind of the world that we live in. And while selfies are fun and we all take them and they're fun to take them in weird and hilarious ways, most of us don't really have a problem like Queen Ravenna, do we? We don't just sit in front of a mirror and go, man, I am the cat's meow. I mean, I am everything. I look good today. I don't ever say that about myself, and rarely is it ever said about me. But most of us do not say that and have this fixation on what we look like to that same degree. However, some of the beauty secrets out there, they will curl your toes. And ladies, I don't know how you do it. And guys, if you do it, I don't want to know it. But it will curl your toes. There's another movie that came out when Snow White and the Huntsman came out called Mirror, Mirror. I want you to watch this clip at just some of the fun that people have taking care of themselves.
Treatment is ready.
Try not to enjoy this bacon, baby.
I'll do my best.
Oh! I can feel you smiling.
It's crazy what people go through in order to look good. But let's be honest, this kind of imagery, it's incredibly exaggerated, isn't it? I mean, this kind of stuff, it doesn't really happen like that in real life. People aren't so enamored that they will go to unhealthy steps to look beautiful, will they? And the answer is, of course they will. It's amazing how image is so wrapped up in our identity that we believe that who we are is what we look like. And so we will spend all day picking out the right outfit, getting our bodies to look the right way, getting our faces to look the right way. And let's be honest, most of us, what we're trying to do is to get the exterior to match what we feel about the interior. We have an image of who we are and we want to look like that in front of others. In fact, if we go through Hollywood, we do know that there are a lot of, you don't have to go to Hollywood, but they're the easy targets. You can go to Hollywood and you can find people that absolutely will do this. Look at this next picture. Do you recognize that? Carrot Top? Carrot Top, Carrot Top had some work done, let's be honest, and it doesn't look that great. Next one. Probably the most famous person that has just continued to go back and back and back to change their appearance. Maybe the most famous of all is Joan. We've been watching Joan for years, some of us, and she looks different every time we see her. The truth is, people will go to incredible lengths to adjust their image. You and I will look at these images and go, that's crazy. But what are the other ways that you and I work so hard on having an image that matters to other people? We do it so much, and the truth is that image is important. But focusing on the wrong image is absolutely disastrous. What image are you focusing on today? Now, we're starting today. We're kicking off summer. School is out. How many are out of school? How many wish they were still in school? A couple, okay, parents, you don't count. I wish they were still in school. Why can't we go year-round? We're kicking off summer, and we're so glad that you're here. If you're our guest here today, we're so happy that you've chosen to be with us, and we hope that you'll stick around and have some barbecue and hot dogs with us after. We got popsicles for the kids. We're going to have a good time after. We hope you'll stick around for that. We wanted to start a new series today, not just about image, that's a piece of it, but we wanted to start a new series that had the opportunity to celebrate summer. Some of you have already been to the pool, and you know as well as I do, growing up, it is no fun to be in the shallow end, is it? I mean, when you're a kid and you're wanting to go get in the shallow end, you're like, man, okay, we'll go. But then you see big brother, big sister, all the big kids over jumping off the diving board, if you still have a diving board, or playing in the deep end, or doing chicken fights, or whatever they're doing. And you're just, when you're a kid, when you're little, and you've got the floaties on, all you can think of, I got to get to the deep end, right? In fact, there's really nothing that compares to the deep end when you're a kid. Although I have noticed that as you age, the reverse becomes true, right? I'm not getting in the deep end. They don't have to tread water. That'll wear me out. I'm just going to stay over here and just sun right here in the shallow end. You know, it does reverse. Every analogy breaks down at some point. But here's what we want to do throughout the month of June is we want to talk about what does it look like to live life in the deep end, not in the shallow, safe end, but what does it look like to jump in all in our lives of faith? And one of the key ideas that we believe that is so crucial to this is the idea of understanding what kind of image is important in our lives. The truth is, most of us are going to make life decisions based on some kind of image. Some of us will choose a job based on the kind of image that gives us. Others will wish they could have a different job because they don't like the image that they had. Whenever I was in school, I remember having a job. It was a great job. I earned a lot of money in a part-time job. I had full benefits. You know, if you're going to have a part-time job that has full benefits, you've gotten something as a student. It's a good thing to have. And I made good money. I made well over minimum wage, and most of my friends didn't. And it was just, it was a good job. But my particular job meant that I had to call you at all hours of the day to try to sell my product to you. I was a telemarketer. And I could never get past my image. If there's any telemarketers in the room, my apologies. For me, I couldn't do it. I could not get past the image of clocking in every day and picking up the phone. And every time I called somebody, I felt about myself the way I feel about somebody else when I'm eating dinner and I get a phone call. You know what I mean? That's a very unhealthy place to be. And I remember leaving that job to get a job that paid a lot less with no benefits, but I was happier with my image in that job. We all make decisions based on our images. But what image are we trying to portray? What image is most important to us? What image is that image that we can live a lifetime adjusting things so that we match it? I want to share with you a few things today. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis most of this morning, and I hope that you'll turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, then a couple of options. You can either go to YouVersion, you can watch everything on YouVersion, or we've got some free Bibles out in the hallway. You can pick one of those up. Those Bibles on the table are for you to take with you. And if you've got a friend that you want to take one of those to, you are more than welcome to do that as well. If you've got a Bible or if you're on YouVersion, we're looking at Genesis chapter 1 this morning. We're going to begin with verse 26, and here's what I want you to begin thinking about. If you were to realize the potential for which you were created, what would it look like? If you were to realize the potential for which you were created, what would it look like? And the reason I want you to think about that question is because most of us will spend our lives trying to realize the potential of someone else that we think has it better than us. We want to look like them. We want to have their lifestyle. We want to have their life. It's been widely reported on Facebook, so it must be true, but actually it is true. It's been widely reported on Facebook that one of the first keys to failure is to compare your everyday life to somebody else's highlight reel. Absolutely true. We look at what's going on in other people's lives, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to post when my kids do something awesome, not when they do something bad. I'm going to post when I do something awesome, not when I do something bad. I'm going to post my successes. My failures are my business, not yours. Amen? I did get an amen on that. But that's how many of us live our lives. How many of us are looking at our high school friends and we're like, man, they made it. They're so awesome, and I am terrible. I mean, my life doesn't look like that. I am not on a cruise ship every other weekend. I mean, I don't get to post these pictures of me tanning all the time. I wish all I did was tan. I don't really wish that. But some of you do. I mean, I really wish that was my life. Look, they got a new car. I haven't had a new car in ever. You know, we look at their highlight reel and we don't see any of the struggles that they have in life. We just see the positive things they want you to see. Because we are a people of image. That's why we want it. The whole idea the grass is greener on the other side is all about image. I want that thing that I perceive is going to be just everything. It's going to be great and wonderful and perfect. But yet, even when we go to the other side, we find out there are still patches of brown grass. And sometimes that green grass was just an illusion, and it's all brown and dead. It wasn't worthy at all. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 takes us back to what we were created for. It says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let that sink in." You are made in God's image. Let that sink in. For those of you who couldn't find the right outfit this morning, you were made in God's image. For those of you that overnight had a pimple pop up in the most obvious place that anyone could notice, you were made in God's image. For those of you who are surrounded by a group of people that you're certain their sole purpose in life is to make you feel horrible about yourself, you are made in God's image. And for those of you who have decided and you know that it's true that there is nothing of value within you, if people only knew the real you, they would know there's nothing of value within you. You are made in God's image. Every one of us. It says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Do you know why in the Old Testament they repeat themselves over and over and over again within just a few verses of each other? Did you know that that is actually a tool of grammar within the original languages to say, are you getting this? This is important. Let me repeat it again and again. Anytime you read scripture, especially in the Old Testament, and you see it repeating a concept one right after the other, the writer isn't just being redundant. He's trying to say, I want you to get this. This is crucial. This is highly important. You are made in his image. We've given out this morning a bunch of these little mirrors, and I'm, to be quite honest, I'm shocked no one's yet tried to reflect light back in my eyes. I fully expected some of you to do that this morning, and some of you weren't going to do that until I just gave you the idea, so the rest of you can watch for the little dancing white light across my face. We gave these little mirrors to remind you of what kind of image are you attempting to reflect. It was brought to our attention that if you do not have a reflection in this mirror, you need to talk to someone immediately. Someone will visit you with a wooden stake, and do not be alarmed. You know, you look at these little mirrors, and they're, you know, they're pretty cool. I can see my eye. That's all I can see. I can see my nose. That's not much to look at. It takes up the whole mirror. Maybe not in your mirror. It takes up the whole mirror in my mirror. You know, these little mirrors, the truth is we really can't see much, can we? There's really not much of a reflection. Could you imagine trying to prep yourself with one of these little mirrors, ladies? You can do one eye at a time, but you can't see both eyes together. So you got one eye that looks great, and then the other eye is, whoo, it's jumping out at you. You don't know what to do with it. You got one cheek, and man, it is perfectly blended. And the other cheek, man, you are Maleficent, whatever her name is. What's her name? Maleficent, thank you. I can't even talk. You know, you can't really see much. Have you ever considered the possibility that even in a full-length mirror, you can only see a fraction of the image of who you really are? Have you ever considered that? That on your best day and your best outfit, and I mean it's slimming. I don't have many slimming outfits, but I mean it's slimming. It is slimming and it just perfectly matches your complexion. You are a winter or a summer or I don't even know what they are, but you're one of them, right? It perfectly matches. Your face is just, it's radiant that day. People look at you and go, are you pregnant? Although not always a compliment, but I mean you're really looking good. Is it possible that even in a full-length mirror, you're only seeing a fraction of what your true image is? That there's way more to you than meets the eye. See, as you guys take these with you, I want you to know that some of your kids and some of our kids' environments are also getting some of these little mirrors. And throughout this month, they're going to be following along in the same teachings that we are, although it's going to be age-appropriate versus we're not going to talk about all the same things in all the classes. But I want you to know in each of the kids' classes, they're also going to be talking about some of these concepts. In addition, we really want you to grasp these ideas of what does it look like to live life in the deep end. So every day of the week, Monday through Friday, there's going to be a different blog written by a different person each week that you can go in and it's going to remind you to think about these things throughout the week. Because what I know is when you leave this room, it's going to be easy to forget everything that we said. Maybe some of you already think, I'm going to go rent Snow White and the Huntsman tonight. You know, maybe you've already got other things on your mind, or how good is that barbecue? How much longer is it going to make us wait for it? I don't know what's going through your minds right now. But we want throughout this series to give you an opportunity to retain it and to think about it daily, because we believe understanding who you are in Christ is the most important thing you can do in your life. For those of you who are feeling bound and you're feeling beat down and you're feeling like life is just not worth living, I want you to know the only reason you feel that way is because you do not right now feel what it looks like or know what it looks like to fully be the image of God. Because once you grasp that, it will change your entire outlook on everything. Verse 29 said, God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food to every beast on the earth, every bird of the heavens, everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Listen to this, verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Did you know that when God created you, he said you were very good? Let that sink in. God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, there was morning the sixth day. If you're taking notes, I want to share a few things with you this morning. Number one is this: God always acts intentionally, always. God never accidentally did anything. You and I accidentally do things. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. God was intentional about everything he's ever done. In fact, he planned it and he implemented it with perfection because he is God. All of this that we just read, God did intentionally. He knew what he was doing. He gave you breath intentionally. He put humankind on the earth intentionally. He created it in his image intentionally. And I do not believe at any time he ever said, oops, I made a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. Everything God does, he does it intentionally. Everything has a purpose. I think it's so interesting, and I bring this up so often because we get this wrong in the church, where we have this debate between science and religion, and it baffles me that we debate science and religion. You cannot have religion without science, or science without religion, because God created science. I mean, God created the earth. If some scientist discovers some groundbreaking truth about how it works, that's a gift from God about how he works. When we look at the immutable laws of nature, we look at those and go, man, God is incredible. And yet people use it as reasons to say God doesn't matter. It boggles my mind. Or that we would say, hey, we reject science. Well, then you reject the ways God has worked in this world. There's no reason for us to have these ongoing debates. God is purposeful in what he does. It's intimate in what he does. It's incredible the complexity of what he has done. What we also know is that God did not act alone, but instead he acted with others. Whenever we read through Scripture, one of the beautiful things we read about is God is not, he is one, but he's not one. It's crazy. But God works throughout creation with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I think whenever I first had this concept, Jesus was not born when he was born. He didn't just come into being when he was born. Jesus was there all along. It's always been God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The fact that Jesus became flesh happened in a point of time, but that's not when Jesus came into being. As we read through, especially through John, we find out that Jesus is actually the tool by which God used to create everything. He spoke, and Jesus made it happen. It's really an amazing study if you go deeper into understanding Scripture. It's an amazing thing how God has worked. In all of time, and all before time, and all of ever time would ever be, God has worked in community with himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not only are we created with intention and purpose for how we would breathe, but how we would live and operate and work with others. God is intentional. If you're thinking, why am I not like somebody else? I want you to know God is intentional in your life. He has a purpose for you in your life. I also want you to know, if you're taking notes, you are created in God's image, if you haven't gotten that yet. God's image. You are created in his image. Now, we've had some fun in the last few months with the image of Jesus, because we've looked at every culture has an image of Jesus. It's really quite amazing to see the, you know, Afro Jesus and the, you know, European white Jesus. And we've got Jamaican Jesus, and we've got, you know, New York Jesus, and we've got all these crazy hipster Jesus is kind of the new thing coming on the scene. I mean, we got all these images of Jesus trying to figure out what he looks like. And for many of us, we get so confused that we kind of check out on this kind of teaching, because we fully believe that God's in creating his image means God has two legs, two arms, and two holes in his nose. I mean, is that really what it means to be made in God's image? Are we going to go to heaven and we're going to look at him and go, oh, wow, you look just like me? But I hope not. I hope not. And for some of you, I hope not too, to be quite honest. No, kidding. Is that what it means to be made in God's image? Simply the way we look physically? You see, you and I will default to a way of looking at life, and we will default to the way of looking at our physical bodies when we think about who we are. That's where we default to. It doesn't mean that's always where we go or that we never look any deeper, but our default is, how do I look to other people? That's why the weight loss industry is such a huge industry out there, and most all of them will not work. But yet people will spend billions of dollars on this stuff. Image is huge. But you've got to know what image you're following after. If we're not made in the physical image of God, what does it really look like? One of the stories in the Old Testament has to do with the selection of a king to follow Saul. And so God sent his messenger Samuel, and he said, I want you to go find the next king. I'm sending you to go find him. But he gave him some very clear instructions, and I think this gives us a clue, or it gives us a peek into what God thinks of when we are created in his image. It says this in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. It says, and when he came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance. Do not look on his appearance. What if today we collectively say we will not look on our appearance? What if our appearance didn't matter? I think we've made a lot of strides here at Journey because appearance is not the thing we focus on here. Some of you are in shorts like me. Some of you are dressed a little better than me. And you know, it's not about how you look when you come before God. There is something so much deeper than that. But in this particular instance, this is going to be recognized the second king ever of God's people that God has allowed them to have. And he sent Samuel to find him. This is a significant event. This is not just some guy, well, we'll see how he does for the next 4 years. And then maybe we'll vote him in the next 4 years after that, or maybe not. This was significant. This was setting a precedent. He said, don't look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. In other words, the best looking person out there, I have rejected them. You think they're going to be good because they're tall? That means they're going to be able to fight well. I have rejected them. You think, man, they look awesome. They look, I mean, like people would want to follow them. I have rejected them. That is not worthy to be called a leader. He says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Soak this in. I mean, just soak this in. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You and I have no choice but to see what man sees unless God intervenes. We have no choice. You and I cannot see beyond that without the help of God. Whenever we look at people, we judge people, we're going to judge them based on appearance because that's the way we function. We have no other way to function other than that. That's the way we function as part of living in a fallen world. God has given us the opportunity to intervene through the Holy Spirit and to open our eyes to a different way of seeing. For example, Samuel, God's man. I mean, this guy was reputed as one of the greatest followers of God in all of history. And God had to say, don't see things the way you normally see them. See them the way I see them. So if Samuel had to do that, you and I have to do that as well. To be created in God's image is not so much to look like him, but it is to value the things that he values and have the heart that he values. What kind of hearts do we have? What kind of heart did David have? What are our goals, our priorities, our motives? Why do we post the stuff we post on social media? Scott did an awesome job last week talking about that. He did a fantastic job. Why do we put the things out there? Why do we look down on people that look different from us? And let me tell you something. In this room, we have people from all different backgrounds. Some of you are here and you've had it with people looking down on you. But you turn around and do the exact same thing to people that are different from you. We have a tendency to look down on people that are different from us. We all do this because we see with our eyes physical appearance. But what God wants us is for us to see deeper. How many of you, and myself included, would want people to look past the exterior, past our mistakes, past our failures, to who are we really inside? We all would want that. We all would want somebody to see past this exterior. And most of us would say, yeah, this is what you see, but let me tell you what you don't know about me. We all have those stories. We created in God's image is to go past the appearance and is to look at the heart. What motivates us? What drives us? What do we value? To be made in the image of God is to value the heart. What we also read in Genesis chapter 1 is we read about a purpose for which you were created. Did you know that you are created with a purpose? Your purpose is not to punch the clock, go home, and try to do something fun every now and again. That is not your purpose. That may be the reality of your life. It's the reality of my life. I have to go work. I have found that grocery stores, just they won't give me food for nothing. They make me have to pay, you know, so I've got to go earn money for that. You do too. That may be the reality of our lives, but that is not your purpose. You were not created and put on this earth so you can keep an economy going no matter what the media tells us. That's not why you're here. You have a much greater purpose than that. That is a piece. But that is not your whole purpose. Scott also did a great job talking about what does it look like to be a part of a community, that we all have a purpose, we all have a role, we all have a place to plug in. And the truth is we have that not just in this place, but we have this in all of life. We all have a role to play. We often look at others and we look at their role and think, I want that role. I mean, I want to play professional football and work for, you know, 20 years, and then I want to retire with who knows how many millions of dollars. That's the role I want to play. Yeah, I want to play the role that I get to live up in the penthouse, and, you know, every time I flush my toilet, that's $30,000 because of the gold plating that gets flushed away with it. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? That would be cool. I want that role. Or we look at the guy and he has everything that everybody else wants and he's got all the toys and the free time to go enjoy them. Yeah, I want that role in life. But that's not the role I have, right? Because we look at our purpose through the same eyes that we look at people. We look on the outside appearance, but we don't look deeper. See, what you need to understand is both in the church and outside of the church, staying in the shallow end means looking at things at face value. If you look at things at face value, you will never get to the deeper things that are happening. If you're in an argument with somebody and you only think about what are the issues we're arguing about, you will never look past that to what are the deeper issues happening here in this argument. See, when you start moving towards the deep end, things get a little harder and more complicated. And because you were created to look at things just with your eyes, you're going to struggle with that because it's so much easier just to look at it and make a snap judgment and go on. It's so much easier than to look deeper. It's the same way in the church. It's the same way with faith. It's so easy just to say, well, it's just about these activities. We do these activities and we're okay. I give a few dollars and I show up and I occasionally volunteer and I'm good. You know, we just, that's looking at things in the shallow end through this very, you know, outside appearance lens. You have to look deeper. You were created with purpose. I'm so thankful for the staff that we've got here that they look deeper every single time they have an opportunity to. And yet they're not able to shoulder all of the responsibility of everything that we do. I'm thankful for our volunteers who don't get near the recognition that some of our staff do, but yet they're serving regularly every single week. It's amazing how that all works out. We each have a purpose. We each have a role to play. I told you, if you were following my feed yesterday, I told you we had some big news in the area of staff. We've got some really exciting things happening. We're getting ready to let go David and Stephanie. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. They're doing a great job. Besides, we got to wait at least till they get out of centrifuge. I'm kidding. They're doing an awesome job. I shared with you several months ago that we've been looking for another position. We started Journey 7 years ago. We've actually been having services a little over six. And we've been fortunate enough to have a children's director who has been serving in that capacity that entire 6 years. It happens to be my wife who's back there serving right now. In fact, most Sundays you'll see her serving in a classroom rather than in here, filling in or scheduled to be back there. And I want you to know that there are a lot of people here that are going to love your kids. And there are few that will love kids as much as Deidre does. She's devoted her whole life to the betterment of children and just investing and helping those, especially those with special needs. She spends her time not at Journeys working with kids with special needs all week long. But she's been doing that role for quite some time now, and it's not really the role that she's gifted at. It's not really the role that she's passionate about in organizing and administrating and leading. She wants to actually get in and work with the kids, and so that's why she's often back there doing that too. So we've been looking for some time for someone to come in and really take that, this really more gifted and more driven and passionate about that side of ministry, to begin to take that. And so we have a young lady who's going to begin doing that next month. You know her because she attends here. They've been attending here for some time. Her name is Christy Smith. And do what? What? Crow, that's her maiden name, sorry. And Christy and Kevin are in our small group. I should know that. They're in our small group. They're in our small group. Christy works with kids in I believe it's Sequatchie County. You can fact check me now. Is that right? Sequatchie County. She actually works very close with to where Cassie works. Cassie Fowler works. And she's going to be taking over our Kidmo area, 2nd through 5th grade. So we talked with her. We said, Christy, what does it look like for you to do that? And she was just, I mean, over and over and over on all these ideas that she has. And she's going to begin taking that role and let Deidre kind of step out and do some other things. Now, let me tell you how this is going to work, because we don't bring on new staff people very often. For one, we're going to bring her up next week, and we're going to interview her on stage. And I'm going to just talk about her and let her share some of her story and let her share kind of some of her goals that she has. And you're just going to be able to hear from her. Now, the way that we work at Journey, for some of you, especially that are guests here, we have a group of elders that we currently call our leadership council. And they have the role of appointing and kind of pulling the trigger on some of these roles. And so that we are bringing this to you for you to see Christy and to hear from her and for her to take that role. But in 2 weeks after that, or 1 week after that, which I believe is Father's Day, we're going to have the opportunity to just have an affirmation vote for Christy. And so we want to support her and encourage her. And I want you to know, man, she is on the ball. She was asking Deidre and I questions, and we were like, I don't know. I mean, really, she has got this stuff together. I mean, she is driven. She has an idea. She works with kids. She's a guidance counselor. She works with this stuff all the time. Some of the things that she shared with us in our small group about the way she cares for kids. I mean, it's a God-given ability that God has given her to work with these kids in the school district. And she's going to begin doing that here. And we're as excited as can be about that. And no one's more excited than Deidre is. For some of you thinking, well, is Deidre going to be upset that she's... No. No one's more excited than Deidre. And what we love about Christy and Kevin is more than what they can offer in that role is, man, they are just great people. I mean, just genuine, gentle, loving, caring people. And so they're out of town today, and they didn't want to be here when we made this one. Hello? They didn't want to be here when we made this announcement. But you're going to hear from her tomorrow. The truth is, we're going to be able to go farther in kids' ministry with Christy being involved. But you were created with a purpose. It appears that part of her purpose is to come alongside us and help us in this area of ministry. What purpose are you living for today? One of the things that I love about people that come and get involved, whether in a volunteer role or a staff role or any other role, one of the things I love about that is that they are willing to say, this is worth more than what the outside appearance is. The outside appearance for coming on staff is, well, is the money good? Well, ask our staff. No, money's not good. Well, am I going to be noticed by people? Well, most people don't even know where we are. They still don't know where Aaron's is, even though it's been here for like 8 years. So no, you're not going to get noticed. You're not going to get asked to be in a magazine. Well, maybe you will. You're not going to, you know, necessarily have a million followers on Twitter. You know, maybe you will. But they serve because their heart is in that. They've found a place for their purpose to be in that. So we're thankful for all that find that. Let me break from that and get back to where we were. Regardless of what Christy is going to do, let me ask you this. And I'm not just talking about journey. What is the purpose for which you are driven by? What is the purpose for which you are driven by? Did you know you were created with a purpose? You know, I have found at different parts of my life, I will wake up in the morning wondering, is this the purpose for which I'm created? Is this why I'm here? My guess is that all of us have done this at different times. Is this why we're created for this? What about your job? What about how things are working out at family with your kids and your wife or your husband or anyone else? Is this what it was supposed to be like? You see, moving towards the deep end says, I'm not going to be completely focused on just, what do I see? What are the benefits to me? How do I match up with other people? See, there is purpose in living out the image of God in your life. I also want you to know this. You are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. As we look through the creation account, what we find is that God said, you are so valuable that when he created us, he said, this is good. For some of you are thinking, I don't feel valuable. They don't value me at work. They don't value me at home. I don't get valued anywhere I go. You are valuable before God. He created you. I also want you to know that you are meant as the image of God. Just as he lives in community, you are meant to live within healthy relationships. You are meant to live within healthy relationships. If you are surrounded by unhealthy relationships, you will be miserable. You're never going to find a perfect relationship because there's no one perfect but God. But if there's not more health than unhealth, and you're surrounded completely by unhealthy relationships, and some of you know exactly how this feels, then you are going to be miserable. One of the reasons that it's so hard to break from old patterns of behavior is because often that means we need to break from old relationships. Because those relationships drag us back in. You need to have healthy relationships, and you are created for that. That begins with the relationship that you have with God. I want you to know that that's what you were created for. That's what we were created for. But over time, that changed. I'm going to read through this quickly. This is Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to read what happened when sin entered the world, and it changed all of this. This is why we struggle today. It's starting with verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did you actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows when you eat or of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate. Now what happens when they did this? Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. No, they didn't physically die, not right then. But something died within them. And they began seeing the world differently as a result. Things changed in the way that they viewed the world around them. Verse 8 says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. This idea that you can actually hide yourself, the way they saw things change. No longer did they see God as he was. They only saw the outside appearance. So if I hide, he can't see me. I can't see him. He can't see me. They retreated to the shallow end. The Lord God called to the man. He said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you were dust, and to dust you shall return." See, there's two components here. There's the component of that their outward view has changed. The way they see things have changed. But something else has changed too. Something has changed within them about their character, about how they live, about what is important to them. They have begun to move away from the image that God had created them. And I believe it's actually at this moment that God began working to bring Jesus into the world to correct this problem. Because when God created you, he created you and you were valuable. He created you and you were good. And we chose to change the way we saw the world. Changed the way we saw God. And he said, "I'm going to redeem you so you can come back for what you were created for." Bottom line this morning, I want you to know, I don't know where you are. I just want you to hear me. Hear me say these words. This is not just a sermon. This is the truth. I don't care where you are in life, what you're doing and struggling with. I don't know what lies you tell yourself or what other people around you are telling you lies about you. Here's what I want you to know, that you are valuable. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how many sins you could write out on a sheet of paper if you had to. You are valuable. It also doesn't matter how many friends you have or don't have, or what you look like when you walk into a room, or whether people flock to be around you or scatter whenever you come around. It doesn't matter, because you belong. God created you in his image. You belong. But I also want you to know that you have something significant to contribute. See, here's what I have found in life, is when we become discouraged about ourselves, we begin to doubt that we have anything to contribute. We wrap everything in our lives around ourselves, and we begin to push everything else out, and we begin to throw a little pity party. We're good at pity parties. Facebook is full of pity parties. And when we talk about Facebook so much, it is the window to the cultural soul. There are so many pity parties. You who know you who you are, I'm just, you know what you did, and so you know what I'm going to do because of what you did, you who know who you are. You know those kind of posts? You know what I'm saying? Like, no, they don't know who they are because they never assume it's about them, because they're the pure as the driven snow. It's your problem, not theirs. So they don't go, "Oh, no. Oh, what? Oh, I need to get in touch with Mark. Oh, I have damage." Oh, that doesn't happen. Passive aggressiveness doesn't work ever. It just leads to more problems. I want you to know, you don't have to do that to know that you belong. You don't have to do that to know that you're valuable. But you do have to take the blinders off. You have to begin looking at the world differently. See, just like these little mirrors only show us a little piece, even a full-length mirror, if you're looking only on the outside appearance, does not tell the whole story. There's so much more than that. And the last thing I want to share with you is this, that no camera can capture the incredible value that you have as the image of God. No camera can capture that. You are valuable. You belong. You have something to contribute. You have a purpose. So as we close out this morning, and I think the band's going to come up and do one more song, I just want to invite you to get out of the shallow end. go a little deeper. I want to invite you to join us throughout the month of June. I know some of you are going on vacation. That's fine. Come the weeks you're not on vacation. Some of you are going to think, man, school's out. It's just sleep in. Don't sleep in. Get in here. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about. You're going to hear from multiple voices throughout the series. And so you need to be here for it. I want you to be here as we encourage Christy as she comes on staff, because she's taking on a role of responsibility that she honestly could be out doing whatever else she wanted to with her free time, and she's chosen to be here. And I want you to encourage Kevin, because Kevin's going to allow her to do this. I think he's going to go fishing while she's working, but, you know, he's going to, you need to encourage him too. But I want you to be here. I want you to encourage the speakers that are going to be up on this stage over these next few weeks. Open the blog. Read the blogs that we're going to put out each day. You can just go to journeychattanooga.com and they'll be there. Be thinking about these things. For those of you who are doing reading plans on YouVersion, keep it up. It takes a lot of commitment to decide I'm going to stop looking on the outward appearance. I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to sing one more song and take up our offering. I also want to invite you guys to stick around. We're made for healthy relationships. That's why we're doing this cookout today. So stick around and eat free. It's good food, barbecue, and a bunch of good food. People abroad and hot dogs and stuff. Stick around and enjoy the time together. But we're awfully honored to have you here at Journey. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I thank you that we can make all sorts of mistakes in our life. It doesn't change that we're made in your image. Thank you for those that they have found out through walking a very difficult path that your forgiveness is incredible. Father, I thank you that you have so many great examples of people in this room who have not allowed outside events or outside opinions to dictate how they're going to live their life, but instead they've found a better way in knowing you. God, it is still a struggle for each one of us. It is so easy just to see things the way that we normally see them. And it is much harder to look deeper. God, I pray that you would help us to look beyond the appearance into the heart. Let our hearts mimic yours. Pray for those that are hurting today, hurting because of what someone has said to them or done to them. Or maybe it's just a series of events within their lives that just continues to beat them down. I pray that you would let them be restored and renewed through your power. God, I thank you for your love and your grace that even though we willingly chose to walk away from you, you sent Jesus to bring us back. So we worship and we honor you. You are our God. You're our Redeemer. It's in your name that we will praise. Amen.